starting from verse 1. I am the true vine. Let's read it together. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and you will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word of the Lord. Now, this passage is a familiar one to us. In fact, it may be too familiar that we can easily miss what Jesus is trying to say. For he says, I am the true vine. Now, what does that really mean? You see, when it comes to understanding the Bible, I think one of the biggest challenges that we have as Christians today is that there is a fundamental difference between our world and Jesus' world. Jesus often uses nature to teach his people about the Word of God and God's kingdom. I mean, just think about some of the things that he uses, you know, from nature. Sheep? Shepherd? I mean, shepherd, we still have shepherd here, you know. Fig trees. Mustard seed. Yeast, right? In today's passage, he uses vine and branches. All these are things that we see in the natural world. And when he uses these examples to teach people about the kingdom of God, even if people did not understand completely his point, they could still immediately relate to what he was talking about. For most people in Jesus' days, they were what? They were farmers, they were peasants. But for us, it becomes much more difficult because we no longer live in that kind of environments anymore. Most of us live in urban and suburban environments. We travel on asphalt streets as we, you know, like drive through the concrete buildings, you know, and we live inside our homes. You know, we have like this furnace thing, you know. If it's too hot, then we'll turn it down. If it's too cold, we'll turn it up. And we prefer strolling through the shopping mall over a walk in the wood. And we buy food. All of us buy food from the grocery store. So we have little chance to even get, you know, dirt under our fingernails. In today's passage, Jesus takes us to a vineyard, and that's all and good, but what does that mean exactly? When was the last time that we were actually in a real vineyard? Do we even understand the basics of what's going on in that part of environment? Now, to be honest, I certainly don't, because I don't think I've visited, you know, vineyards before. I've been to wineries, you know, to taste wines, but not actual vineyards. Now, who has been to a real vineyard before and see all the grapes and all that? Some of you, right? And the rest of you guys haven't? Okay. So, yeah, you know, so here we are. We're faced with this really familiar passage to which we frankly don't know much about. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. For perhaps by admitting that we don't really know much about what Jesus is saying here, perhaps that would give us a fresh approach to a passage that we may think we know well already. So let's look at this passage starting from its wider context. And what I mean by this is that whenever we take a random passage from the Bible, it's always good to read it in context. I mean, where is this passage located in the gospel? Is it right from the beginning? Is it in the middle? Is it near the end? I mean, what's before and after this passage? And under what context and situation is this passage written in the first place? So it's really good to kind of go through that really briefly first before we actually go into the text. Now, for John 15, verse 1 to 8, it is part of a greater discourse of Jesus as he began to say goodbye to his disciples, for he was about to die. He was about to be betrayed and go to the cross. But before that happened, Jesus wanted to make sure that his disciples can fully grasp who he is and what kind of relationship he had with his Father. So in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus declares that the Father is a source of all good things, of all good blessings, of all truth, and he is the power behind all the miracles that Jesus does. Now, look at verse 11 in chapter 14 with me. It's on the PowerPoint. It says, believe me when I say, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. In other words, there is this really intimate connection that Jesus had with his Father. For whatever the Son does, the Father is always the one giving him the wisdom to say the things he says and the power to do the thing that he does. So in the same way, Jesus says, this is like our relationship with him. In order to abide in Jesus, we need to remain in him and in his word, just like the way he is with the Father. And in order to make that clear, he uses this image, the vine and the branches. So that's the context. Am I going too fast? You guys following along with me? So far, so good? Okay. So this is an image, you know, when he uses branch, you know, like branches and vine, like people in Jesus' days, they could just relate to like that, you know? It's just like if I were to ask you guys, what's an iPad? All of you guys would know exactly what I'm referring to, right? So it's kind of like that. Vineyard, branches, people know it just like that. So people in Jesus' days, they knew that branches are completely dependent upon the vine of which they grow. You would not even have a branch if there were not a vine in the first place. Here's a photo. You see that? See how beautiful, you know, the grapes are? You know, they're juicy, you know. And then, you know, it's coming out from that branch. And then, you know, from that branch, there's that big vine, you know, from there. You know, you can see that really clearly, right? Now, this next diagram, let's go to the next diagram. This will show us even more clearly of what Jesus was talking about. All the branches you see stem out from that vine, from that horizontal vine. And they're completely dependent on the nutrients coming from the vine. And for its source, from its nutrients, you see that it's producing this fruit that we see. Okay. So with this picture in mind, this is really similar to the completely dependent relationship between a baby and her mother. When a baby is conceived, she's totally dependent on the nutrition from the mother's womb for 9 months. And though, you know, and through the umbilical cord connecting to the mother, the baby receives all the mother's nutrients. Look at how, you know, how happy this baby is. Right? You see that? Well, it's just like, that's the way we are. You know, we're connected to the mom. Sometime after that, you know, they will probably begin to be dependent upon the breast milk. But eventually, we know that every single person will be weaned, you know, from that source. They will eventually become independent. Their physical beings will no longer be dependent on the mother any longer. They can live and then they can get along, you know, without the umbilical cord that was once their very source of life. But that's not so the case with branches. A single branch that grows out of the vine stem will be as completely dependent upon the vine, you know, whether, you know, the vine has been around for 50 years ago. Or whether the vine is, or the branch is just 1 year old. So there's no such thing as a weaned branch. You know what I'm saying? There's no such thing as an independent branch. And of course, we see that the vine stem, you see that horizontal thing? You know, we see that it has the roots going down to the bottom. So this means every single branch on the vine depends on the roots, you know, to get its water, you know, its main source of nutrients. So this means if you are a branch, just picture yourself as a, you know, as a plant. If you are a branch, if you want to live, then you better stay real tight to that horizontal, you know, vine stem. Of course, what Jesus was referring to here from verse 1 to verse 8, they're not actual vine and branches. Where are they? They're you. They're me. And his point is that in order to abide in him, we need to remain in Jesus, especially through his words. That's our nutrients. So having said all that, let's now move to the question of application here and ask, what is Jesus trying to say to us here at SFCC with these verses? I mean, a passage like the one that we saw, you know, with that diagram, there are a lot of insights we can draw from that, you know, that 8 verses. And with a rich passage like that, I can focus on the importance of the Word of God. I can just say, hey, guys, you guys got to read God's Word. That's our nutrients. You know, I can make a whole sermon out of that. Or I can talk about the absolute essential discipline of having a consistent quiet time. Like when you guys get up in the morning, just get into the habit, and you know, and I can make a big sermon, a really, really, you know, like strong sermon out of that as well. Or I can talk about the life of prayer and how that will help us to remain with the vine. Or I can talk about the process of pruning, you know, like how Jesus was talking about pruning, you know, the plant and what that means. So if I were to focus on any of those topics, they will all make great sermons for us. But I believe that God has something else in store for us today. I see that there are two great lessons that we can learn from this passage as a congregation. And the first is this. You ready? Grab a pen, write it down. Here's the first one. Jesus is more intimately connected to us than we think. He's more intimately connected to us than we think. If you have a pen or pencil, write it down in that blank. You know, if that's one thing that you will hear from the whole sermon, so be it. He is more intimately connected to us than we think. Now, up to this point, has it ever struck you just how deeply involved Jesus is with people? You see, Jesus' relationship with us is not something that's very casual. Nor is it something that, you know, he holds at arm's length. It's like, oh, it's just right there, you know. He's not like, you know, a company or some CEO overseeing a large corporation or a business that he supervises the affairs of the company from the corporate tower, like all the way up, that nobody can get access to. And I know that some of you guys here, you guys work for Microsoft, right? You guys work for Boeing. And it's not like you guys can go to, like, Steve Ballmer. Or to Jim McNerney, you know, and say, hey, Steve, hey, Jim, you guys want to hang out for a little bit? Let's go grab a beer. You guys can do that. I don't know. Have you guys even had the chance to see them in person? Have you guys ever shook hands with them? No, right? You guys know my point? I mean, CEO, I mean, that's not the kind of relationship that Jesus has with us. You know, it's different. I once heard a story that a prominent vice president of a big Wall Street firm mentioned that although he had been the VP for that firm for many years, he had never actually met the firm's CEO. Isn't that crazy? Vice president, never met the CEO. The distance between the upper management and the lower ones can be so far apart in some of the places in the world today. But in the New Testament, we see that the image used to describe our relationship with Jesus, the CEO of our life, is so much closer. The church is a body of Christ, which is a pretty intimate image to show us how close we are to Jesus. We are the branches of the very vine of Christ. We grow right out of his very self. You see that picture there? You know, we're not like, you know, detached. We're like from him, you know, from his body. We have this thing coming out. And if something that goes, you know, if something goes wrong in that, you know, with the branches, you know, we get cut off. Now, as a pastor, it's always difficult when a member or when a regular worshiper decides to go to another church, especially when the decision has nothing to do with, you know, geographical relocation. You know, the person just decides to leave. And I find that it's even more difficult sometimes by the fact that some people who left, they never say goodbye. They never leave a note or they never tell you the reason why. They just stop coming to the church anymore. I know for some pastors, when this happens, it could be even more difficult when those who left have shared some special moments in the life of the church, like they got baptized, you know, in the church, or that, you know, they got married in the church, or that there was a funeral service that was, you know, like planned for their loved ones. I mean, they just disappear one day, and that's it. But even though such, you know, situation is painful and it's difficult, this is nothing compared to how Jesus feels when he loses a branch. Because in that case, it's not like the branch is serving somewhere else on the vine. But that branch has left the vine completely, and Jesus describes it as it is cut down, it is thrown into the fire, and it is burned. And the act of cutting down, I mean, for us, it's like kind of like an impersonal act, but the act of cutting down a branch, you know, of cutting down a branch that no longer desires to stay connected to the vine, it is not painless. Instead, it is a very personal, very painful affair. It permanently wounds the vine, and it leaves a scar. No wonder Jesus commands his disciples to stay close to him at all costs. He desires everyone to be with him. He's saying to you, he's saying to me, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Why? Because without me, you will wither and die. Don't you understand what's at stake here? I'm the very source of your life. Not in a very dominating way, as if you're my subject and I'm looking down on you. No, don't you know that we are meant for each other? I created you to know me, to have a relationship with me, says Jesus. So Jesus is more intimately connected to us than we know. Here comes the second lesson. Right, so what's the first one again? Just say it to me. Okay. Here's the second one, and it's closely related to the first one. We are more intimately connected to each other than we think. We are more intimately connected to each other than we think. Can you guys just indulge me a little bit? Go to the person next to you and say, you and I were connected. Can you say that? And shake hands with that person. We're connected, okay? And here's why. You see, most people in North America, and I think for many parts of the world, we're very used to live in a very voluntary society. You know, this means when we view our membership or our involvement in any kind of institution or establishment, a lot of times we think that membership is something that's wholly up to us. We have the say. So we can initiate or we can terminate that membership at will. So in other words, we tend to view the status of our membership or our belonging to a group as something that's very casual. You see, you can sign up for a gym class or like a gym membership. And then you can quit your gym membership if you stop going there on a regular basis or for whatever reason you want to choose. Or you can sign up for a school club. I know some of you guys are in school clubs. And you can stop going there if you feel like, there's too much homework. And people in the club, they won't come after you saying, hey, how come you're not there? It's not as if you have signed a contract or anything. Or you can sign up to become a member and receive newsletters from an online store and receive their weekly ads. And you can stop that membership by simply with a few clicks of the mouse. And, I don't know how many times I've signed up, modify, and even quit on my membership, from Netflix. if I need it, I'll pay, kind of like a low monthly fee for it. And if I, if I'm not, I can suspend it, if I'm traveling, or I can simply quit. And what I mean by this is that the word membership carries with us this sense of detachment in our life today. It is very casual. It can come, and it can come and go, and we can initiate it, and we can terminate it at will, just like that, So when it comes to the idea of church membership, I think we have a hard time wrapping our minds around the idea that to say I am a member of a church is equivalent to I am, a member of a church body, that my hand is part of my body. You know what I mean? You see, being a voluntary member of any group means joining or resigning. Very easy. Very easy things to do. But being a body part is something entirely different. A hand cannot click on the body, without some dramatic effects. Just like a branch cannot leave the vine without some trauma involved. So this is what I'm trying to say. You and I, whether we know it or not, we are very, very intimately connected to one another. And I know this may sound very cheesy, but if we are what the Bible says we are, that we are the body of Christ, then none of us are dispensable. We are all necessary in this place. Being a member of the church community means you are part of the body, whether you're here for a short term, or whether you're new here, or whether you just visit. God has brought you to this place for a specific reason. And what you do in this place will affect each other. The way we interact with one another, the way we serve, the way we act, the way we communicate, they all have effects on one another. And we all have the potential to give life to this place. Just like we all have the potential to suck life out of this place. Selfishness, pride, insecurity, resentment. These are the things that suck life out of a community like this. Selflessness, humility, love, forgiveness. These are the things that we do to inject life into the body of Christ. We are more intimately connected to one another than we think. For we all stem out of the same vine of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, the human body is an amazing thing. And basic biology tells us that in order to sustain our body, we need three things. First, we need food, you know, which our body transform it into the energy that we need, you know, to sustain our body. And then second, we need water, which we need to keep our bodies healthy and our blood flowing. And guess what the third is? We need oxygen. Because without it, the rest of our systems will not even function at all. Now, of these three elements, food, water, and oxygen, we would die more quickly without oxygen than the other two, right? Why? Because nearly every function that keeps us alive uses oxygen as our source of energy, for it is a primary ingredient for our body's metabolism, you know, the process in which changes the food into the fuels that we need to stay alive. So I can almost picture a long distance runner exhausting himself in the race and gasping for breath, you know, at the finish line. And then his heart is pounding, you know, for oxygenated blood to pump into the rest of his body. And he's striving to, you know, finish a race. And he's forcing his disciplined body to obey so that he can actually, you know, go across the line. And essentially, when he approaches the finish line, he's fully dependent upon the supply of fresh air that he needs in order to move his body forward. And if that supply of oxygen is to be cut off at that point, the runner's body will fail and he will collapse on the spot. I mean, all of you guys have run long distance before. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, in the same way, from this passage, we see that we too run a race. As the body of Christ, we depend on Jesus as our Lord for every breath we breathe. And he's a true vine. And apart from him, we cannot do anything. And the further along in the race, the more desperate and dependent we are on him. His breath is vitally necessary for us to stay alive. And without him, we, the body of Christ, would collapse. Without him, the body would die and we would fall short of the finish line. And without him, everything would be lifeless. So he is a vine, brothers and sisters. We are the branches. He is the air that we breathe. And without him, we cannot live. So as you think about this image, I want to just invite you guys to close your eyes right now with me. And I want you guys to sit quietly before Jesus. I want you to spend this time to tell him how much you need him. And also, I want you guys to take this opportunity to pray for your fellowship and to pray for the church. Ask God to show you ways in which we can give life to one another. Can we do that? Two things I'm asking you to do right now. First, tell Jesus how much you need him. Second, ask Jesus to show you how you can give life to this church. And if you've been sucking life out of this church or fellowship, ask God to help you to change that. What I mean by this is if there's any unforgiveness, if there's any pride in you, if there's any laziness that you feel like you should have done more, spend this time with God. Okay, as the music plays, just pray to God right now. Jesus says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. He is the air that we breathe. without him, we will wither and die. So talk to God. And then in a moment, we'll have the worship team lead us into the song.